Today here in Washington, a group of medical, legal, and academic experts issued a series of recommendations about what to do when a president becomes seriously ill. Their hope is that if the details are worked out in advance, everybody will know what to do when a troublesome situation arises. NPR's Joanne Silberner has more on the story.
The consequences of a president who's not performing up to his capabilities can affect the course of history. Neurologist James Toole of the Bowman Gray School of Medicine suspects it already has.
One of the most important and obvious ones being President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who at the end of his term of office had severe heart failure, hypertension, and his brain became affected by these so that he wasn't thinking clearly when he and Winston Churchill were working with Joseph Stalin at the end of World War II, and in effect, partitioning the world into many halves.
Toole is head of a group that includes former White House physicians, historians, and legal experts worried about the government's ability to deal with an impaired president, a problem that surfaced as recently as the Reagan administration, when the president suffered a nearly fatal assassination attempt and underwent cancer surgery. The 25th Amendment to the Constitution, introduced after President Kennedy's assassination, allows a president to temporarily sign power over to a vice president. The amendment also allows the vice president and Congress to declare the president unable to serve. The Working Group on Presidential Disability said today there also needs to be specific plans to set it in motion.
The physician to the president must be empowered to make the judgment that the president is impaired or disabled and unable to function, and recommend it to the official individuals who are contained within the 25th Amendment as being responsible for implementing the change.
The committee also suggested that even before inauguration, presidents develop a step-by-step procedure detailing things like who should be in on the decision of impairment. That would take the burden off of presidents and their advisors, who may be reluctant to invoke the 25th Amendment. Today, presidential spokesman Mike McCurry said the White House indeed has a specific plan about what to do if President Clinton becomes physically or mentally unable to serve. But for national security purposes, it has to be kept secret. The Bush administration also had a secret plan, and the Working Group on Presidential Disability says so long as there is a plan, it's okay if it's not public. But historian Michael Beschloss would like to see some of the details.
The secrecy of this is a little bit overblown, particularly in the post-Cold War era. As the commission suggested, I think it's not a bad idea perhaps to have one or two codicils that perhaps may relate to issues such as nuclear strategy. But in general, I think if you look through history, we have tended to suffer from too much secrecy in the area of presidential health, so I would be for as much disclosure as possible.
The committee's recommendations will now be sent for consideration to the White House. Committee Chair James Toole would like to see the recommendations extended beyond the president to cover Supreme Court justices who are appointed for life. This is Joanne Silberner in Washington.